you're kind of in luck since I'm the last speaker. I decided, well, I will mostly just show you some movies because kind of my work lends itself to that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of all about dark matter. For my PhD, I was working on fuzzy dark matter, but I also any kind of dark matter I'm kind of interested in. And also, I don't remember exactly what it was. I also put some like hobbies on here, so you were not the only one. my master's, I was working on WIMP dark matter models, where the kind of catch or the special thing is that they had radiative neutrino masses. But that was more like a particle physics kind of thing. And then for my PhD, I went to the Max Planck Institute for Astrophysics, and there, for 4 years, I was working on numerical simulations of fuzzy dark matter. And it's kind of cool, subject, but I'm also kind of getting sick of it. So I'm kind of glad to be here. Hope to be, seems like a very nice place to be in to explore many different things. I just arrived here 2 weeks ago with my wife and 16-month-old daughter. So it's a little bit crazy, but yeah, that's how it is, I guess. All right. So fortunately, Luna just gave a very nice introduction on fuzzy dark matter. So like she basically had the same slide. So I don't really need to talk about it too much. Maybe just to remind you, so fuzzy dark matter is the idea that dark matter is composed of an extremely light scalar particle, where extremely light means something like 10 to the minus 22 electron volts. And these kinds of particles then kind of behave collectively as waves, so you can also call it wave dark matter. And the De Broglie wavelength for these kind of things will be on kiloparsecs, so kind of galactic scales. And on large scales, this will be equivalent to what cold dark matter, so kind of the standard model. But on these wavelength scales, you can kind of think of it like the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. This will resist collapse, and then you will get different structure formation. Here's some pictures. So on the left, and this is basically just a density projection of this small simulation box. On the left, this would be fuzzy dark matter for some given mass value, on the right, cold dark matter. And as you can see, the small scale structure and substructure is suppressed here on the left compared to on the right, where you have all these kinds of tiny dots, whereas these kind of large scale filament things are the same in both pictures because I use the same initial conditions for both simulations. And you can kind of see it here, you will have kind of wave patterns going on in the fuzzy dark matter case. Here's just a different picture. So the text is the same for some filaments, but these filaments look like kind of zoomed in a bit more. And the left is a fuzzy dark matter case. Again, you can kind of see these wave of oscillations, whereas in the cold dark matter case, it all just fragments down to clumps, so the halos and subhalos down to the smallest scales. Another important thing that also Luna mentioned was that fuzzy dark matter forms these soliton cores. And of course, I also have those in my simulations. And these kind of granules around these, them in the halos, these are the wave fluctuations, which are kind of an important part of how you would test if dark matter is fuzzy, because these can disrupt or dynamically heat, for example, star clusters or any kind of baryonic matter that you could observe. And now to my actual simulations and the promised movies. So the thing about these simulations is that they are really expensive. I managed to do 10 megaparsec boxes, 10 megaparsec cubes volumes, which on cosmological scales, if you're not aware, is not actually that big. And to do this, to solve the equations that Luna showed, I discretized the density field or the wave function on a Cartesian mesh. And this had to be for these simulations that are shown here, 8,640 cubed, which is huge and extremely expensive. And these are just two sets of initial conditions that are shown here. Again, you can kind of see, on the right, which is the proper fuzzy dark matter one, that really you don't actually have that much structure left that's forming. It's just some more zoomed in regions where you can maybe see what's going on here with the kind of wave interference and radiating outwards and wave oscillations and all that kind of stuff. Again, I'm not being too quantitative here because I don't know how to fit that in 5 minutes. So as I mentioned, these are huge grids. Just to give you a scale of this, this is more than 10 terabytes of memory or data that I had to keep track of. So you need, or I needed big computers. And this takes millions of CPU hours to run these really big simulations. And why is that? Like, why is this so difficult? Essentially because you don't, what you usually do in cosmological simulations, you can basically make your resolution as arbitrarily bad or coarse as you want. But here you always need to resolve this De Broglie wavelength kind of scale. And that's kind of the main reason why this is really expensive. And kind of more in detail here on the right even. So on the bottom you have the density field. On top you have the phase of the wave function. So even in very low density regions, this oscillates rapidly. So that's kind of the problem with it. So yeah, thanks for listening. And that's it.
There is an approach for this kind of simulation to use hybrid methods where in the Hare loop one solves the dark matter equation, the downside and body.
Yes.
Like in body approach. So what do you think about that? And have you made comparison actually with your exact solutions and this hybrid?
In general, that's kind of, yeah, I think that's of course a very good thing to do because it doesn't seem to me like, you know, someone will find like the silver bullet to just make these simulations much cheaper, right? So if you actually want to do, yeah, kind of these big cosmological simulations like people have done with cold dark matter, I think this is what you would have to do. I think as far as I'm aware, the methods are not at the point yet where you can kind of arbitrarily do that. Normally, yeah, they just focus on one halo. And then you kind of have to manually say, okay, well, this region is now solving actual fuzzy dark matter. Outside is the cold dark matter stuff. I haven't directly compared it to my simulations so far, like in any kind of detailed way. I might do that. My main concern at the moment is actually. So I don't know if you're aware, Neil Dalal here also at PI has put out a paper recently that kind of puts very strong bounds on just fuzzy dark matter in general. And I think that's kind of the most relevant part to investigate right now. But again, that's kind of difficult because of the computational expense. It's kind of also the question what's the regime of fuzzy dark matter that's still viable in a sense. So, yeah.
So in the big simulation, did you just solve the Schrödinger-Poisson system without self-interaction, or did you allow for the axions to have self-interactions? And have you ever seen sort of like a comparison of those two on a larger scale? Because I've only seen comparisons of like single halos, and I wonder if that changes.
Yeah. So I don't consider self-interactions in my simulations, but just because, you know, I mean, I could. There's no reason not to, but it just adds another parameter. I don't think this has really been done on a similar scale as I've done. Yeah, it's again kind of a similar thing. Like what do you actually use this computational time for, right? So there's no reason why it couldn't be done, but
You ran a test or something and decided
what unfortunately not. I know someone who has, but also in smaller boxes. So
The last question is fine.
From an outsider's perspective, is there any chance that these quantum mechanical simulations can have a quantum advantage? Like, if you had access to a quantum simulator, can you simulate this faster?
I don't know particularly about quantum computers, but there are actually, I'm aware that there is actually multiple people who kind of want to. So what they want to do is basically set up a system in a lab, like something like a BEC, which this is kind of similar to, and then kind of let this just evolve experimentally and then kind of measure the outcome. So I guess this is not really a quantum computer, but just actually using a quantum system, which follows the same or similar equations of motion and then seeing what comes out. So I think that's actually a really cool thing. I mean, the nice thing about this fuzzy dark matter, there's a bunch of cool stuff. Just the question how, you know, how physically or how relevant that is to reality in the end. But yeah, people, I think, want to do this or something like that.